Hi, welcome to That Groovy Scoopcast, your go-to audio hub for all things...
Wow, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot. Not exactly sure what that was. I'm a little white-knuckled up here, sweating profusely, trembling uncontrollably, but everything will be just fine. Right? Hey guys, sorry about that interruption. My name is Derek.
And I'm Shannon.
And today we are going to be talking about Gremlin on a Plane from Be Cool Scooby-Doo. What were your thoughts on today's episode overall, Shannon?
I love it. I love Be Cool Scooby-Doo, yeah. Which is funny because it's one of those when I first saw the animation, I was on board with everyone else where I was like, this is going to be so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's become one of my favorite series.
Yeah. I always look forward to us talking about this one, similar to Mystery Incorporated, because mm-hmm. we will usually have a good time. This one, not because we're interested in the actual, like, darker portrayals of the gang, but just because it's just so nonsensical.
Yeah.
I will say this is probably the most absurd episode we've seen so far.
Yes.
For the show. Not that that's a bad thing, but definitely out there a bit.
Yeah.
Before we delve deeper in our conversation about that, we are going to kick off our Mystery Machine match, our weekly trivia Scooby-Doo competition, where Shannon and I try to figure out which one of us knows Scooby-Doo better than the other. Currently, my points are sitting at 23, while Shannon has 21. And I think today it's going to be up in the air who is going to take the lead when it comes to the questions that I'm seeing on my card.
I'm hoping my brain is ready.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, let's find out. As always, Shannon, you get to go first today.
A gypsy wagon race across the countryside of what European country, famous for bullfighting, occurs in the Scooby-Doo All-Star Laugh Olympics?
Is it Spain?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
That bullfighting in there kind of gave that.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of concerned where that was going. Yeah. Here's your first question. Oh, also about the Laugh Olympics. We've been getting a lot of Laugh Olympics questions.
I hate that.
Recently. We have yet to watch them, and yeah.
And so I know nothing.
Yeah, right. So here's your question. The teams in Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics take part in several flying events in what southern state known for being first in flight? This kind of has a bit of history, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but I know this one.
I wouldn't know this one. I looked at the answer.
I'm going to be so pissed because I actually know it. Like, I'm actively upset right now.
Can I give you three options, if anything?
Because I'm like, it's like right on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, it's either Georgia, North Carolina, or South Carolina.
Okay. Is it Georgia?
North Carolina.
Okay. I was like, I know, I can imagine the place that it happened. I've got it in my head, like the picture and everything.
Mm. Well, that's a bummer. What's your next question for me?
The episodes of A Pup Named Scooby-Doo had the style inspired by animation legend Tex Avery or Slim Avery?
Tex Avery?
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, that was a guess. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. This next one you're definitely getting right.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's wait for that. Let's see if you get this one. What name did William Hanna go by when writing the different theme songs to Scooby-Doo? Joseph Rowland or Denby Williams?
Didn't I get this last week?
You actually got this question for Joe Barbera.
Oh.
So think of the name that Joe Barbera used, if you can remember.
Yeah.
And then the options were either Joseph Rowland or Denby Williams.
Well, I'm going to say he went by Denby, because I think...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. William Hanna went by Denby Williams. Ah, okay. I see that, because of the Williams. Gotcha.
They were so creative.
I know. What great aliases. All right, what's your last question for me today?
What is the name of the object in the Scooby-Doo movie that can absorb souls? The Demon Diamond or the Daemon Ritus?
The Daemon Ritus.
Yeah.
Wow, 3 for 3 on me. Let's see if you can get a second point today. In the Scooby-Doo movie, Shaggy meets a girl who's allergic to what member of Mystery Inc.?
Scooby.
Yes. No, it was Velma.
I'm sorry, are we not all allergic to Velma?
Right. So it looks like I got 3 points, you got 2, bringing our totals to 26 and 23. You're falling behind.
I need you to stop getting 3 for 3 every week. It's really rude, taking it offensively.
Sorry. Well, that was this week's Mystery Machine match. You ready to start our review of Gremlin on a Plane?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll begin with our premise for the episode coming from Scoobypedia. A gremlin sneaks aboard the maiden voyage of Air Gigantica, which Daphne reveals she has a great knowledge about piloting when the gang are invited for a ride.
Here's my thing. How does she know how to pilot a plane that's never been flown before?
My thing is, she knows Big Earl, who's the builder of the plane.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly if he said how they've met. Like, I'm not sure if it was, like, maybe, like, a piloting school or something. But, like, she clearly has the training and the know-how of the planes. And it's, I mean, they play it off as if it's just a spontaneous thing, because that's what Daphne does in this show. So she has spontaneous interests and know-hows about anything. But it's implied that she, like, must have gone to piloting school or something.
Yeah.
As far as her being able to pilot the Air Gigantica, I don't know. It must just be very similar to other planes, except bigger.
Are all planes the same?
Right. Honestly, really good question. But before we do meet up with the gang, we have our pre-intro scene where we see two men who are doing maintenance on the Air Gigantica. This plane is huge.
Yeah.
It is gigantic. It is the world's largest plane in the Scooby-Doo universe. And there's one guy who's currently on a electric scaffolding. He's, like, way up fixing some paneling, while this other guy on the floor is, like, I don't know, he's doing stuff below, like, around the tires or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details. But the guy on the ground starts to see and hear things, and he radios up to the other guy. Is like, there's something down here. Like, get down here stat. The other guy's like, okay, I'll come down.
He's on the scaffolding trying to come down, but the scaffolding is so slow.
It's both slow and also the plane is huge.
Yeah.
So it's just taking forever for him to come down. And the situation is growing dire because the guy just keeps, like, getting attacked by this, you know, shadowy figure. Yes. And by the time the other guy gets to the ground level and he's like, what's going on? And then here's the gremlin and he's just like, ah, and we never see them again. Maybe they died. I don't know.
Well, and the funny thing was, like, by the time the guy on the scaffolding got to the guy on the ground is having, like, plates thrown at him. Like, the plates from the plane are, like, being actively thrown and chucked at him. Wrenches, like,
sheets of metal.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I don't like how easy the gremlin is able to tear apart the plane. Because that really speaks to the quality of the plane.
Which is said later that because Big Earl rushed it or whatever, that it wasn't going to hold up in the sky.
Yes.
So that does kind of...
Well, was it because it was rushed, or was it just because of the modifications he made to it?
Oh, I think maybe the modifications.
But either way, the plane comes apart rather easy, and I don't like that.
No. It makes me very nervous to ever get on a plane again.
Yeah, right. So we do the intro. We now meet up with the gang. We see the Mystery Machine being loaded onto the plane itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Daphne is just super excited about seeing the Air Gigantica. I didn't write down, like, all the details she wrote about its comparison to other planes, and it, like, dwarfs this other one, which...
Basically, if you Google, like, how big a great white shark is compared to a megalodon, like, that's the comparison to the Air Gigantica. Like, it is just a giant, giant plane.
Yes. And they meet up with Big Earl. He's just a Southern Texas cowboy type character.
You know,
is he supposed to be a reference to somebody? Because I'm not sure.
He reminds me of, I think it was on Fairly Odd Parents, and that Southern guy with, like, the giant
Doug Dividone. Yes, something like that.
Yeah. Doug.
I have to Google it.
Doug Dividone, owner of the Dividone, whatever.
Doug Dimmadome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Owner of the Dimmadome.
That's who he reminded me of.
Yes. Yes.
And also Big Earl cannot remember anybody's name except for Daphne.
Yes, he knows Daphne, but he's bad with everybody else's.
I think something happened and now he has, like, semi-short-term memory where he just can't remember names.
But it also causes him to have a lot of life mottos.
Oh, a whole lot.
By the end of the episode,
7 to be exact.
We'll review them when we get to it at the end of the episode, but he lives by many codes of honor, I believe. And I think that they are all valid.
It's fair.
Now, the gang is just, you know, just asking questions about the plane and stuff. And that's when they meet this super sketchy guy. He comes out of the shadows and he appears to be like limping for a moment, but he's just like tripping over cords and stuff, and he yells at people to clean up.
Which, yeah, also does not make me feel good about getting on a plane that's got like a whole bunch of cords just connected to the ground.
Right. So Big Earl introduces him. His name is Ed Johnson. He's the head engineer on the project. And he suggests that they maybe not get on the plane at all because of the gremlin attacks, despite the fact that the plane has been having to have a lot of maintenance and the upgrading and in size of the plane has kind of called into question the, I guess, the integrity of the plane.
Will it stay together in the air? Yeah.
Yeah. And Big Earl kind of brushes him off. You know, it's just like, oh, gremlin talk. And that's what Velma does too, because Velma's just like, pilots have been talking about gremlins ruining their planes ever since the beginning of men flying planes. And
is that like a real thing though?
I don't actually know. Listeners, if you have anything to comment about that, I would love to hear it, because I really am not familiar with that topic.
If you guys know any pilots, like, ask them.
If you are you afraid a pilot.
If you are a pilot or know a pilot, please ask if they're scared of gremlins, and what is that? Mm-hmm. Like, why?
I noted that Fred gets super triggered about the idea of not being in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
So Big Girl basically kind of said that, like, if something goes wrong, like, maybe even Daphne could take control of the plane because she's just so knowledgeable of flying planes.
Yeah.
And Fred was just like, oh, no. Like, I mean, if there's anybody here who's going to be in the driver's seat, it's me.
Daphne sits on the other side of Velma.
Yes, he did say that. At first, I was going to be a bit worried that this was going to be, like, a sexist thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that it, ultimately what it was, but no, at I don't first think I was scared it would be like that, because I feel like, I guess when it comes to Be Cool Scooby-Doo, I most compare Fred to Stan from American Dad. I know that, like, I don't like the comparisons of the show looking like Family Guy in terms of the animation, but Fred's personality type in this show really does remind me of Stan Smith, and it's just because of the
fragile masculinity.
It's just, he has a stick up his ass.
Yeah.
You know, Fred has a stick up his ass all the time. And that's what Stan is like as well. And I feel like if this was Stan, it would just be because she's a woman, not because of anything to do with his own personal insecurities. Although in this case, it does appear just because Fred's really insecure about not being in control in this situation.
In this series, I mean, in most of the series, Fred is always the leader, and he gets really weary when he's not the leader.
And this appears in other Be Cool Scooby-Doo episodes, too.
Yeah.
Not even just this one.
No, and it happens across the series, or, like, different series, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that's particular to this episode. So it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, Fred's gonna be sexist. It walks the fine line, mm-hmm. but if you watch other episodes, you know it's just Fred. He has to be in the driver's seat. He has to be in charge. People have to depend on him. Otherwise, who is he? What is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. They do board the plane, and the interior of this plane is just insane.
There's a whale on the plane.
There is, and I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm equally not okay with it as I am okay with it.
You want the spectacle of a whale on your plane.
Yeah.
But I do not want the logistics of a whale being on the plane, like, interfering with my flight.
It seems and the safety really of cool, said flight. But it seems very terrifying, yes.
Right. I did mark down, like, some of the other things we see on the plane as they're boarding. We see fountains and fancy seating, and I think we see a bar. And
they mention a petting zoo.
There is a petting zoo. There is a fireplace with TVs and a bear rug. And
a
we
bowling
see
alley.
Paintings and a bowling alley and a pool. There's a whole spot for, like, hot towels. And there's fancy recliners that assault people on occasion, such as Shaggy.
Yeah.
We see Scooby and Shaggy, like, you know, just sit down and they click the relax button. And Scooby instantly is just reclined, and he's just like, And then we see Shaggy, he, like, presses a bunch of buttons, and it just
explodes,
beats him up, and eventually it does relax, and we see Shaggy just being like, like, in
one
pain.
Tooth left in his mouth,
He's in pain, but he's also relaxed, comfortable.
Something interesting that I saw was that when they all went to buckle their seatbelts, there was an elephant on the seatbelt. I don't know, I just like when, like, designers put little stuff like that in there. you know, they could have just made it plain, but they took the time to draw a little elephant on there. It was cute.
To add to the magnitude of how big this plane is.
I figured that's probably what it was. Like, this plane is so big, it's got an elephant on the seatbelt. But it was just cute.
I didn't write down what Daphne said, but she was, like, so excited in an intense way when the plane started to lift off.
Yeah, she basically just said something along the lines of, like, the sound of the engine starting. But I put down that she was definitely wet for this plane.
Ah. I like that. That analysis.
Yeah.
I had an animation note here. I've never seen it in this show. And I'm curious if maybe you saw it too. When the plane actually was like in the air and was like going off into the sunset, it didn't look actually drawn like it was before. Like it kind of looked like a 3D rendering of the plane in a way. I don't know if you maybe saw that.
I don't think I noticed it.
It was something that I saw and I'm like, huh. Because it's just notably different than the way we see it stylized elsewhere in the episode. And mm-hmm. I don't know why it was different, but I took a note of it for some reason.
Okay.
We hear the voice of the pilot, Captain Anderson.
He is the best pilot. He just has one small fear.
He's afraid of heights. And the way he expresses that over the intercom, I couldn't do it.
I would die. I wrote down I would have had a heart attack. Here's the thing. Take the gremlin out of this episode, it still would be a terrifying episode.
Right, like it's still a very scary flight for everybody. He's just like, whoa, oh, whoa, 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 we're really high up, huh? Oh, yeah, all right, yeah, mm-hmm. Like, and then he goes to turn off the lights saying, like, you know, people can get out of their seats, they can walk around and everything like that. And then he starts to, like, turning it back on and turning it off and turning it on. He's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Okay, okay. Everything's fine. But like, you can hear all of this. Yeah. And I'm just like, stop.
Turn your microphone off and please calm down.
The gang is not as concerned about this as I am.
No.
And I don't like that.
They're sitting there like, yeah, this is just a regular Thursday. And it's like, no. No, no, no.
Right. Fred decides to declare that the gang is going to try and solve the mystery of this gremlin and the attacks going on the plane. So he suggests that he, Big Earl, Daphne, and Velma go down to the storage deck to see what's down there. Shang and Scooby elect to go to the food court.
As always.
Yes.
I want to know when Scooby and Shaggy, after all of these years, will finally figure out that the monster is always where the food is. Always.
They always are the ones that are attacked.
And it's always when they go looking for food.
This is true. I wonder if it's because the monsters are also hungry.
Understandably so.
You know, they gotta take a break at some point. Yeah. You know, evil villains have to eat too.
That's our new life motto.
So we see the part of the game that goes down to the storage deck. They realize how big the room is and everything. And Daphne made some kind of a comment about how, like, it's bigger than the petting zoo. I'm like, I mean, I would hope so. How extensive and big can the petting zoo be on a plane?
I mean, we later see it, and it's got, I think, like, 3 bunnies, a goat, and, like, 2 chickens.
So it's not really all that impressive either, no. Given the fact that they have a blue whale on this plane.
But why be on a plane if you can't pet a goat?
That is one of Big Earl's mottos. I took note about one of the clues they found down there being dirty clothes that would be worn by one of their engineers. They suggested it was worn by Ed, but then Big Earl was like, well, everybody on our crew wears those, so it's not necessarily him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Shaggy and Scooby, we see them go into the food court. They decide to torture themselves with brain freezes by consuming copious amounts of
soft serve yogurt.
Yes.
So I did want to note, because there was a lot of soft serve ice cream there, but bone and fish flavor were 2 of the options.
Not about it.
No.
No. While they are indulging in the ice cream, the lights kind of flicker, and then we hear like a shake around the plane.
The pilot has a panic attack.
Yes, he goes, wow, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not exactly sure what that was. Then he just goes on to say how terrified he is of the situation. And he's like, we're going to be all right, right? Right?
Like he's waiting for someone to respond. Don't pilots normally have like a second in command?
Normally.
And with a plane that big?
You would think there would be many, not just 2, like maybe 12.
Especially
specifically 12.
If my first pilot has a height fear, I most definitely would have a second and third in command.
Maybe him just not even be a pilot though. of the largest plane in the world.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea, too.
I mean, that's, yes.
Something to consider, big girl. So the lights do permanently go out, and when they do come back on, the gremlin has appeared.
Oh, wait. My favorite thing, though, was when the lights go off and they hear a growl. Scooby and Shaggy hear a growl. And Scooby asks if it was Shaggy. And Shaggy goes, well, I know my growl. And that wasn't it.
I did not take note of that, but yeah. I like it. I'm glad that Shaggy is aware of his body and how it works.
Yeah, I'm glad that Shaggy is aware of what his growl sounds like.
Mm-hmm. So the gremlin sets off a bunch of, like, haywire electrical failures throughout the food court. We've got food dispensers shooting out food as, like, projectiles and everything. We see pizza and cake and donuts.
I did want to note, too.
Turned into weapons instantly.
All of the pop dispensers,
the fountains,
say soda on it. So that does tell us that they are down south.
I mean, not necessarily. I say soda.
I don't know how to help you, Derek.
Oh. Thanks. But Scooby and Shaggy start running across the food court, and they're, like, trying to get away while also trying to eat as much food as possible, which was just funny.
It looked like The Matrix, but they were eating food.
Yes. I like how later Scooby expresses to the rest of the gang that the gremlin made food bad.
Yeah.
When the rest of the gang get up from the storage deck, the lights are, you know, flickering and everything, and they start to wonder what's going on. So Daphne suggests that it might be the auxiliary power units, and Velma even says it could be even the circuit breakers.
And Fred says it might be the wingy plane thingy. He said it might be.
It might be.
The thing is, it turns out that it is the wingy thingy. So Fred is right.
I mean, it's not the cause of the electrical power failures.
No.
But we see the pilot now. He quits. He just quits mid-air and runs to the bathroom.
Yep.
So they're like, what's going to go on? And Big Girl is like, well, we have, you know, autopilot, so it's going to be fine. But Daphne's like, basically put in charge in case the autopilot goes out.
Yeah, because Velma's just kind of like, maybe we should have a living human being.
Given the power keeps going in and out and everything like that. Like, that might, I mean, aside from that, there just should be someone up there anyway.
Well, initially, Fred takes the driver's seat.
Yes, he does, because he's super butthurt about anybody else doing it.
And so then, but then they realize that the wing is down somehow, whatever. And so Fred's like, well, I have to go take care of that. So he flips on autopilot again and leaves, and then goes to take care of the wing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Daphne takes over.
We did also learn about the magnet clue in this scene. So Scooby, like, gets magnetized to the dashboard of the plane, and we learn that there's a magnet behind it that's causing all of the controls and everything to go haywire right in there, and it's pulling on Scooby's dog tag.
I like Fred was just like, Scooby, this is no time to be headbutting the dashboard.
Right. Like, he does this on a normal basis otherwise. But the magnets are what we later learn to be the way that the gremlin is sticking onto the plane when he's both in and outside of the aircraft itself. So Fred, he harnesses himself, like, by rope and everything to the door of some part of the plane.
Yeah.
He's going to step out onto the wing of the plane so that he can fix the steering flap, which has, you know, become a little damaged due to the gremlin. And I like that Velma's like, maybe this isn't a good idea. And Fred says, Velma, ever since I was little, I've always understood that being in charge means climbing out on the wing of a moving plane and fixing a steering flap that a gremlin sabotaged.
I'd like to imagine that young Fred had a vision of that moment right then and there. And then as an adult, he was like, I know what I have to do.
Or maybe Fred's dad or his mom or someone, like an authority figure in his life, has experienced this before.
This exact thing. And so they were like, if you need to be a leader, this is what it might entail.
Yes, because, well, A, pilots evidently have issues with gremlins in this world. So
that implies that someone in Fred's life is a pilot. Maybe. And they were like, hey, gremlins.
He was taught of this exact scenario, and he's been prepared for it all his life.
So he's out there, and he's doing his thing, and all of a sudden, Scooby and Shaggy see the gremlin, and so they start trying to warn Fred that there's a gremlin.
Through the window,
and Fred looks over and goes, I also think I'm doing a good job.
Right. My only other note for this scene is that I don't like when the door is open to the plane, you would expect everything to get sucked out of it.
Yeah.
Because that's just something that happens in real life. And I feel like they could have done more with it. Because, I mean, all the food that Scooby and Shaggy are eating gets sucked out. But I think they could have done a little bit more with that.
Yeah.
That's just something I just wanted to suggest.
Well, because everybody else is like, because Scooby and Shaggy are seatbelted in. And then Fred had been hooked up to that cord.
Mm-hmm.
Velma's just standing there, free. So, like,
she
she'd be dead.
Sucked out. Yeah.
She'd be dead.
Well, no, actually, I noticed Scooby and Shaggy were not buckled in.
Oh, no?
No, they did not have seatbelts on, no.
Huh.
So they also could have been sucked out.
Well, and that's weird because then all the food that's sitting right next to them gets sucked out, but they don't. So
I think that's probably why I wrote the note in the first place. I probably wouldn't have said anything otherwise, but that's something I wrote down. A lot of nonsense goes on outside, guys. Like, Scooby and Shaggy eventually have to go out there and save Fred, and now they're also attached to cords, and they're flying around the entire plane, and
the only thing I noted with that was at one point, they, like, their cord swung around, and they swung to the front of the plane and, like, hit the window.
Hit the windshield where Daphne can see them.
And Daphne's just sitting there like, what the hell?
Right.
And so she kind of turns the plane a little bit, and then they swing back around.
Yes. I didn't write all the details for that because it was just
a lot, yeah.
But when they do get back in after fixing the steering flap, Fred asks where Daphne is, and Mom was like, she's in the cockpit. And he was triggered again.
Oh, he was mad. He's like, I leave for one moment and you replace me already?
Right. With Daphne,
with
of
Daphne,
all people.
Yeah.
Because this is when he addresses how Daphne has acted in previous episode of the same show where
Daphne with the puppets and the beards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that that is something where, like, in its own continuity, it references other shows, kind of like what What's New Scooby-Doo does.
Because,
like, you don't need to watch What's New Scooby-Doo in order, and neither do you with this show either. So I like that it does do those little call outs because I've seen those in other episodes of the show that I've seen before. And, they're always mentioning the puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why to this day the puppets...
always the puppets.
I think the puppets are my favorite one of Daphne's gags because it's not exclusive to that episode.
Yeah.
You see it in other ones and it's just funny to me every single time.
I will say, too, when they get back on the plane, Shaggy says that that's the most scared he has ever been. But Scooby said it's definitely in the top four. So I'd like to know what the other three things were.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I want to know what the most
it would
scared.
Probably be one of mine because I'm personally terrified of heights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Yeah, that would definitely be terrifying to me.
Right. Now, Daphne does remain in the cockpit while Fred tries to orchestrate a plan to capture the gremlin. Shaggy and Scooby are used as bait as usual. They dress up as engineers and they're doing maintenance on the plane. And this quote is funny to me, and I also want to believe it's true. So Scooby asks for like a wrench or something while he's working on some wires, and Shaggy says, gee, Scoob, your electrical degree is coming in handy. And Scooby says, finally. And I want to believe that that's not like a joke or like part of the act, like it's true.
The funny thing is I just finished watching this show called Community, and in it they gave a degree to a dog. Or almost gave a degree to a dog. And
yeah.
So I'd like to imagine that is, like, a possible thing. That Scooby did go and get his degree.
Well, you know, Scooby goes to school with the gang in Mystery Incorporated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would like to think that he eventually got his high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's all... Well, you know, actually... Damn, I can't say it because it's a spoiler for Mystery Incorporated. Never mind, but it's not unprecedented for Scooby-Doo to get an education. And I want to believe it's true here, is my point, all in all.
Yes.
So... yeah, the gremlin does appear, chases them around the plane. I don't really have a lot to say about it other than the fact that this plane is just huge.
Oh, it's so big.
Whether it's for the guests or the people who are, like, actually operating the plane itself. I did note, though, that Velma operates a motorized food cart that has 6 gears on it for some reason.
And it goes way too fast.
And I don't like that.
No, it should not be allowed to do that.
They do capture the gremlin with the recliner that was used to assault Shaggy at the beginning of the episode.
Yep.
I did appreciate that that came back.
Yep.
You know?
It was beautiful.
But their unmasking scene gets interrupted because Daphne, very calmly, you know, she is a lot more of a professional and, like, composed pilot than the other pilot is in this scenario.
I kind of wrote that a couple of times throughout this episode is that Daphne's actually really professional right now.
Yeah, she knows how to handle this situation. She knows how to stay calm. She doesn't want everybody to panic. Like I said, composed, comes out and she's like, attention, everybody. I would like to inform you that we are out of fuel and the landing gear is broken.
Yep.
The pilot, Captain Anderson,
is still hiding in the bathroom.
And he pops out and it's just like, no fuel. The landing gear is broken. And also that other scary thing. And he's pointing at the gremlin. I'm just like, right. He has not seen the gremlin yet.
He's like, I don't know what's going on.
So he goes back into the bathroom. And I just thought that was funny.
So I missed who asked, but someone asked if he had like a bunch of parachutes.
Thumb ass bigger, all that, yeah.
Yeah. And so he turns and there's like six parachutes, which kills me because that plane can hold like hundreds of people.
Yes.
But okay. So there's six to eight parachutes. Yeah. And he turns and they're all gone and the glass is broken and he's like, well, there was. And then it cuts to the whale outside of the plane floating down with all the parachutes wrapped around him. So in all caps, I just wrote, who did this to the whale?
I believe the whale just dipped. Listen. I think the whale sensed that there was something going on. And he's like, you know, I'm going to go.
I got to hit a depressing note with this that I told Derek while we were watching the episode. But I'm like, either way, that whale is going to die. So whoever did that was just very stupid. Or the whale just accidental suicide. But regardless, either that whale is not going to hit any water at all, which I believe is what actually happens. We never see it land, but... And then either that or if it lands in water, it's just going to get tangled.
With the parachutes.
With all the parachutes and it's going to die. So, like, either way, not a great ending for that poor whale.
I do firmly believe, though, the whale did it himself. I'm imagining the whale getting out of the aquarium and just walking over to get the parachutes.
They can't walk, so he's just like sealing over there.
Well, that's why the plane keeps shaking so much. Because it's not the gremlin, it's the whale.
Oh, no.
So... Fred's like, okay, well, clearly the plane is not going to be our way of getting safely down to the ground. So it turns out that he recently modified and upgraded the mystery machine to have a plane mode because reasons.
And Shaggy at one point asks, when did you do this? And he goes, don't worry about it.
Yeah, right. And I like that is not part of the conversation. No, it's like you're not supposed to question it. You let it go because the mystery machine in this is similar to the mystery machine in Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue, where it's like the magic school bus.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turns into a full-on plane. He's ready to pilot it, but he sees Daphne in the passenger seat kind of down because, she's not being given the opportunity to really do what she is apparently super passionate about in this episode. So despite the urgency of the situation, you know, they all just piled into the mystery machine, including Big Earl, the pilot, and the gremlin, who still has not been unmasked. And everything, he's like, just very slowly, it's just like, nope, you know what? A good leader knows who needs to be in the driver's seat, and right now it needs to be you, and da-da-da. And almost like, guys, like, we have not waited this long ever to unmask the villain. And also, the plane is falling out of the sky. Like, can we hurry the fuck up?
And Daphne just puts on a little hat and she goes, all right, passengers, whatever. And she goes, you know, the cargo door has been blocked, so be prepared for an alternate route. And she goes, like, up the elevator and then, like, out one of the windows or whatever.
Well, she stops to get the petting zoo animal.
Yeah, she picks up the petting zoo. I don't know if maybe she tried to stop but couldn't find the whale, or, like, did they just not give a shit about the whale?
Maybe they just assumed. I mean, what were they going to do?
Put him on the top of the mystery machine. He actually could have lived then. Possibly. I'm sorry. I'm upset about that. Anyway.
I think they're aware the whale dipped.
Yeah, they saw him flying.
No, I honestly think that once they noticed the parachutes were gone, they all kind of were like,
the whale.
That fucking whale. he is not as loyal as the seagull.
That bitch. So then at one point, Velma says, well, now that that's been settled, and Shaggy takes personal offense. And he's like, what's been settled?
Right, like the gremlin has not been unmasked. They're still trying to get out of the plane. They eventually do, but like, there's still a lot going on right now. But they do unmask the gremlin to see that it's Ed Johnson, the head engineer from the beginning of the episode. No big surprise there because...
It's the only other person we've met.
Big Earl and the pilot weren't all that much of big suspects, I guess. I don't know.
No, the only way that you could suspect the pilot is because he was technically in the bathroom the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so
he could have been slipping in.
Yeah, he could have been going in and out.
Maybe faking his fear of heights despite the fact that the gremlin is clearly climbing all over the plane inside and out and everything like that. Yeah. But
And then, you know, Big Earl, I guess, I think every time the gremlin attacks, he's gone. So I could see that, but I never suspected either of them.
Right. I did write, though, that so throughout the entire episode, I think we did say that Big Earl is not good with names. The only one that I really found all that much funny was when everyone was just like, oh, Ed Johnson. And then he's like, Cornelius?
Yeah.
But we learned that when Big Earl upgraded the modifications to the plane and everything, Ed had claimed that they were actually like putting the integrity of the plane at risk, when it turns out it actually improved upon the plane's design.
Yeah.
So Ed was like mad about that and da da da. So he used the Magnus to actually traveling all sort of the plane and all that. And he was just looking to ruin and put Ed out of business and probably just build his own, right?
I guess would be the ultimate goal. No, I will say, too, that no one cared about Velma's explanation because she kept trying and they kept screaming.
And she was getting mad about that.
Like, really? They just didn't want to die? Because even at one point, Fred's like, okay, cool. So, like, can we let Daphne focus? And she's like, okay, so now on to this part. And it's
right.
Just like...
Well, even the villain is just like, can we, like, focus on getting out of the sky safely
like,
for a
he
second?
He goes, I will tell you everything when we land. And she's like, no, I'm doing that
I'm
for
doing
you.
I'm doing motive.
Yeah, she's like, are you not paying attention? So then as they are falling out of the sky, because now the Mystery Machine, like, they hit something, so one of their wings is down.
They hit a windmill.
Yeah.
One of the wings is out now.
Okay, so, but they're still going to land, like, we know they're going to be okay. But they're sliding across this field, and they're about to hit a cow, and this cow is just staring them down.
It's playing a good
moving.
Game of chicken, yeah, and it won.
It won. I put same energy as that cow.
So the episode pretty much ends with Daphne being like, well, now that you know that I can pilot planes and the Mystery Machine can turn into a plane, we can fly everywhere. And Fred's like, no. We see a strawberry frozen yogurt machine fall out of the sky and it lands on the Mystery Machine.
Yep, on the Mystery Machine.
Which Scooby and Shaggy are very excited about.
Now, I have one thing real quick. Because when they finally make it down, like, Ed is physically shaking and actually terrified that they were about to die. He was the one doing this to the plane. He cut the fuel line. He messed with the wings. He messed with the navigation. What did he expect to happen? Was he prepared to die, but then, like, once... Like, did he...
Well, he was probably counting on a parachute, but a certain whale kind of nixed that plan.
But, like, what? Because I put down, like, was he actually prepared to die, or was he just bullshitting and whatever?
I think that if the whale had not sabotaged his plan, his sabotage plan would have worked.
Okay.
We do see the whale coming down further with the parachutes in the background.
You know what we don't see?
We don't see the plane come down. And I'm terrified of what that means. We never see it crash. We don't see it land safely anywhere. And it's never addressed. Does it land in a field? Like,
where does it go?
It doesn't say anything about where the plane landed or anything like that. And I'm mortified thinking about the consequences here. Like... The FBI is going to be investigating this, guys. That pretty much sums up Gremlin on a plane. I think the only other thing was we had a list of all the mottos that Big Earl says that he lives by in the episode. I think you listed them, right?
Yep. So Big Earl's life mottos to live by. Go big or go home. Always install thrust reversers. You can never have too many mottos. There is probably no such thing as gremlins. Why be on a plane if you can't pet a goat? Always have a backup. Never trust your backup.
And with those in mind, Shannon, what did you award this episode on the Scooby Snackometer?
I gave this episode an 8.
As did I.
Ah!
explain.
I like Be Cool Scooby-Doo. Just like the fun that you have while watching it. In general, this episode was really fun to watch. It was funny. I always liked Daphne's gags, so her little, like, plane thing this time was really funny. And then I liked that. I always like when Daphne and Fred clash.
And they do that a lot in this show. Which is so
weird
to see.
In this show particularly, yeah. It's so easy to, like, ship them together, which is what a lot of the series do. But, like, it's really fun to watch them clash together because they are so funny because their personalities are so different. So in stuff like that where it's just, like, Daphne with the puppets and the beards, like, no, why is she flying a plane?
And then here's Daphne who actually, like,
knows
what
how
she's
to fly.
Doing.
Yeah. And so it's I always like that. That's always fun to watch. It was just a good episode. I liked it. Had fun.
Like I said, I'm giving it an 8 as well. The absurdity in this episode was at like a 15 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that's something I really applaud with this show, because it does this crazy, zany stuff and it's not afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, I guess in this case, it doesn't take a break.
Yeah.
I think. And I'm fine with that at this one, because it's just an absurd scenario. It's, like, this plane could not exist in the real world.
No.
It can't. And the larger than lifeness of this plane is just funny. Like, there's a whale on the plane.
On a plane, yeah.
And, like, just the gag with, like, the parachute and the whale. Like, that's, like, my favorite part of the episode, to be honest, I think, is just the whale. And I think that, overall, it really deserves a high rating here. It's super funny. My only thing is just, where the fuck did the plane go?
Where did the plane go? When we post this episode, I want you guys to comment where you think the plane went.
But with that, will you give it an 8? I give it an 8. That group of Scoopcast awards Gremlin on a Plane an 8 out of 10 on the Scooby Snackometer.
Woohoo!
So next week, we are going to be watching our very first episode from Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. This is the very first time that we're reviewing an episode from this series on the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've only seen maybe 3 episodes in total from this show so far, so I'm still not used to its style of the gang yet. Have you seen any of them yet?
I haven't watched a single episode, so this will be my first jump
general
into,
viewing
yeah.
of it. Well, as far as I know, this show does not need to be watched in a chronological order, so we will be randomizing it, like most of our series. So, Shannon, would you like to randomize what episode we'll be watching next week?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Next week, we will be watching The New York Underground.
Okay. Here is a premise for the episode, coming from Scoobypedia. Scooby enters Shaggy in a poetry slam at Central Park, where his competitor is singer and songwriter Halsey.
Okay.
Right. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm curious to see if this show does a better job at handling the week-to-week guest host scenario, like what the new Scooby-Doo movies tried to accomplish back in the 70s. I really hope it does a good job.
I hope so, because we do not like the new Scooby-Doo movies.
And I really hope it's not just because we're familiar with these people and celebrities. Like, I do just hope that the storytelling is just a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just hope it does a better job. So that is the episode we'll be watching next week to kick off our reviews of Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. And our fun fact of the week is going to be about Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. And that is the fact that while Be Cool Scooby-Doo did have to release its second season on the Boomerang streaming app, it never got released on DVD, as far as I've seen. The Scooby-Doo and Guess Who series is the very first one to be released in its entirety on the Boomerang streaming service, or just in a digital format. The show has yet to be released on any form of DVD or physical copy, and I think this is an interesting thing which speaks to the age that we live in when it comes to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if we will ever get a hard copy release of the show. I hope we do. But it's just something that's interesting, and it's the first time that we're seeing this in a form of Scooby-Doo media exclusively. So
yeah.
That's something to think about. When it comes to Scooby-Doo news, the only thing I just wanted to share again is the Scooby-Doo run. We've been talking about it a bunch recently. If you guys do want to register and participate in it, I think today you are now sitting at 62 days left before registration closes, so you have about 2 months left to get yourself on board with it. If you want more information about it, go to scoobydoorun.com.
Join us.
Yeah, we're going to be doing it. We're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk to us about Gremlin on a Plane or the New York Underground or anything Scooby-Doo related for that matter, you can find us online. We are on Facebook at That Groovy Scoopcast, Twitter at Groovy Scoopcast, and Tumblr at That Groovy Scoopcast.
You can also send us an email at thatgroovyscoopcast@gmail.com or check out our website, www.thatgroovyscoopcast.com.
And with that, we hope that you enjoyed That Groovy Scoopcast.
Come back next week for Scooby Snack Full Time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.